Why do you keep on staring? That mirror, mirror, it ain't fair at all. Dress sizes can't define. Don't let the world decide what's beautiful. No.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth, and we are thrilled to have on the phone with us today Heidi Langenfeld. She is a Hastings historian, and many of you know that March is Women's History Month, and we are chatting it up about different women in Hastings and how Hastings has had such a rich history of leadership of women. And we want to talk today about educators. Hastings has had a great history of educators in Hastings that are women, either got their education here or went on to educate other places. So, Heidi, really nice to chat with you. How have you been?
I've been well, Mo, and you?
Oh, I've just been great. Thank you so much. Heidi, tell me why this was something that was interesting to you.
Well, you know, sometimes we don't really think that women went on to college so much in the late 1800s or early 1900s. And I just thought it was fascinating to learn more about some of the women that did that. They didn't get married at a really early age. They went on to school and had different types of careers. We don't always hear about them.
No, do you think back in the day that was super unusual, and do you think that they were perhaps treated differently?
You know, it seems like there was a time right in the early 1900s when it wasn't that unusual for women to go on and have, because they were the teachers in the country schools. And high school, the last year of high school often was called normal school. And they would go on and get their teaching degree and become teachers and board at different houses, you know. The old country schools all had that. So it wasn't so uncommon, but probably many of them married shortly after that, so there was a big turnover, and it wasn't like they were career women so much. But they did have that opportunity to that extra year of education to become teachers, and that was not uncommon.
Did normal school allow you to become a teacher, or do you still go on to college?
No, then that they could go right into teaching. A lot of times the country school teachers were almost, some of the farm schools, the boys would only go to school in the wintertime and then quit school. So they could be 16 and still be, you know, just in elementary school. They'd be almost as old as a teacher was. My dad used to talk about that. Having the young teachers and then they would board at the farm school. So that's a little different. That was a little generation before. Well, no, because my dad was in school in the 1900s. So they were able to start teaching pretty young, maybe 18 or 19.
And Heidi, when you were a girl growing up back in the 1900s, What were your options? What did your dad say the options were for girls growing up then?
That's what I think. I think it sort of narrowed. Even when I was growing up in the 40s and 50s, teaching, being a nurse, those were the two big careers for women, and getting married. And, of course, that started expanding in the 60s. Women were limited a little bit in the different options they had for careers. But it's, of course, it's changed now. But the two ladies that women I'm going to talk about today were born in the 1800s. And so, well, for instance, this one family, the Lyon family, came to Hastings, and they were here in when Hastings, the first census in 1857. And then this specific family that I'm going to talk about, Mabel Lyon was a teacher here in Hastings. Many people my age still remember her. I don't remember her because I didn't go to grade school here. But her mother, Mary Material Lyon, had eight children when her husband died in 1886. She had eight children, and her youngest two, Mabel and Maud, were only 2 years old, and they were twins. And so Mabel Lyon is the woman that her name is really familiar. She taught, well, commercial, like typing and shorthand, and that's another career that women could do. I forgot about secretaries. That was a big career for women. And so Mabel taught that. But I found Mabel to be really interesting because she had such a wide variety of experiences in her life. She never married, and she was born in 1886. So as she grew up, with her mother being a widow and having eight children, she said that they just knew how to make do. They toughed it out. They persevered because it was early America, and they lived on a farm, and so her older siblings helped their mom out on the farm. But they all became educated, which I thought was, well, not all, but there were four of them that were very educated. Their oldest sister was also a teacher. Their brother moved to Hawaii and became the father of agriculture in Hawaii. And so there was something in that family that even though Mary was a widow, she was able to instill some of that appreciation for knowledge and learning in her children. And so Mabel and Maud, the twin babies, when their father died, graduated from Hastings High School in 1904. And then both went up to the University of Minnesota and went to school there. And Mabel majored in biology, and she got her Bachelor of Science in Sciences. And she taught school in Iowa and then came back to Hastings and taught here. And while she was here, she became really interested in botany, and she did an inventory of all the wildflowers in Hastings. Still have that inventory at the Pioneer Room. And one of the things we thought would be sort of neat to do is to do an inventory, because people are interested in the wildflowers and the natural, the native plants that grow here, and just to see how many of them are still around. And it's something that Cindy Smith has talked about, and we thought would be a fun thing to do, because we've got that from when she did it in the early 1900s. But so then her mother became ill, and she decided to go back to school to be a nurse so she could take care of her. She went to Johns Hopkins Hospital to learn how to get her nursing degree, and she came back from there and took care of her mother until she died in 1918, and went back to teaching then for a little while, and then she decided to go back to school again. So guess what? She goes to Harvard. she was among the first, she was in the first co-ed class to go through Harvard University, and she got her master's degree in education from there in 1931. And then she came back to Hastings again in 1932 and taught. And then she decided that she would be interested in teaching commercial business classes. So she went back to school again to become trained in that. And that was what stuck with her then. That became her career, was teaching high school typing and bookkeeping and shorthand, and she did that for 20 years. She also taught at, you know, Hastings had a business college downtown, and she taught there. She did some classes there for the instructor at that school. And so her name was Anna Louise Harton. She ran that college. And then after she decided to retire in 1984 and decided to move to Zumbrota to be near her nephew's family. She had never married herself, so didn't have any other family living in Hastings. She ended up living to be 99 and was still enjoying typing letters to former students of hers who kept in touch with her and had a lot of communication with them, according to the last article that was written about her life. And then she died just a few weeks after her 99th birthday. She had a long and interesting career.
She did. Very driven.
Very. Yes. That's what I thought. That's why I thought she was very interesting. And I wish I would have known her.
Oh, no kidding.
Do you know what one of my biggest regrets, you know, because Bob and I had the antique business, we went to a lot of auctions. Oh, I can't remember what year it was, but Gilbert Gergen died, and he had two houses full of things. There were 11 auctions to get rid of all of the wonderful antiques and everything he had. He had a strong connection with Carol Simmons, and so he had even LeDuc artifacts at his house, letters and artwork by Alice LeDuc. But there was this big box of letters that was from Mabel Lyons. It was a Mabel Lyons. He must have bought it from her estate at some point. I bid that box up to $100. I really wanted it. And now I'm just mad that I didn't keep going because I don't know who got it, and I wish we had it at the Pioneer Room. Just imagine the history that would have been in there. Mm. And local history, but anyway, it's gone. I have to let it go. But Mabel was an interesting person, and a lot of people knew of her and knew her. And then another young woman who graduated just 2 years after Mabel from Hastings High School was Florence Curry. And Florence's parents were James and Ella Phoebe Curry, who moved to Hastings in 1885. From Virginia, and at the time that they moved here, they had two daughters, and they were one of the black families in Hastings, and Florence was their fourth daughter. Fourth child. They had 10 children in all, and of their 10 children, 9 of them graduated from Hastings High School. So when Florence graduated in 1906, she was the valedictorian of her class. She then went on to go back to Virginia, where her parents had come from, and went to Hampton Normal Institute there for 4 years and got her bachelor's from there, and then went on to a postgraduate course in library work at the Tuskegee Institute in Tuskegee, Alabama. And that's a pretty prestigious college for blacks. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Yes.
Tuskegee.
Yes.
Yeah. And many civil rights leaders have attended that school and stuff. So she had gone to that school and went back to Virginia, where she became the assistant librarian at the school that she had gone to, her college, until her marriage. And she ended up marrying a young man named Sidney Simmons. They got married in 1924, and I loved the notice in the Hastings paper. I loved how it was worded. It says, "Cards are out this week announcing the marriage of Miss Florence Elizabeth Curry, formerly of this city, to Sidney Britton Simmons, supervisor of vocational agriculture in the North Carolina State University." So she married this young man who was also in education. At that point, she gave up her career, and she married Sidney, and they had two daughters. Sadly, she died 10 years after their marriage. She died in 1934, and it was following a serious surgery. Does not say, and I've never heard what the surgery was for, but she died from that, and from complications of that, and left her two daughters, who were only 8 and 2 years old when she died. Mm. And her body was brought back to Hastings. Her husband and mother-in-law and her two little girls came back to Hastings with their mother's body. And the funeral was held at the Curry home. The Currys lived on the corner of 4th and River Street. Their house is still there to this day. And that was where the funeral was held from. And she's buried at Lakeside Cemetery with her parents and one of her brothers. She was only 46 years old at the time of her death. So that was sad. And then the other woman was an educator in Hastings. I referred a couple people that went to the business college. One of them was Helen Kleiss, who got her business degree there from Anna Louise Harton, who was also a single woman who lived in Hastings throughout her life. And when she retired, she also was a single woman and didn't have a family. So she moved to Faribault to a nursing home. And the interesting thing about Anna Louise is that she kept up with the Hastings paper. She wrote many letters to the editor because she was a historian. And if they made a mistake in an article, she would write them a letter and set them straight on what the real facts were. I can relate to that.
Exactly.
We historians sort of like to try to keep things accurate. But she wrote they published her letters, so we have those at the Pioneer Room, and we learned so much about Hastings history from her letters because she wrote about the Curry family. She talked about, many people don't know that there was a black community in Hastings, and so she wrote about that, and she went to church with the Currys before they built the Brown's Chapel. And she talks about the Curry children being baptized and other families in Hastings that were black families that she went to school with or that she remembered their names. And Anna Louise, though she had no children of her own, left quite a history for us in Hastings. And so we're much richer for these three women having been here.
That is just incredible, and what a beautiful, beautiful tribute to all the great educators that are in Hastings now, you know, women and men.
Mm-hmm.
Heidi, thank you. Very fascinating. We want to say thank you to our guest today, Hastings historian Heidi Langenfeld. March is Women's History Month, and Heidi has been retracing some of the women that blazed the trail back in the day as Hastings went from being a small, small river town to the city that it is today. So thank you so much. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.
Why do you keep on staring in that mirror? Dress sizes can't define. Don't let the world decide what's beautiful. No.